For those of you that are watching us online today, hi. And you're stepping right in on a moment. So far, you missed a lot of what we have shared, but Carol and I are very excited about things that God is doing, and so we just got started talking about God, our Father. But so many people, when they've been taught all these crazy things about God, and they don't understand Him as Father in the relationship that we have with Him as being our Father, they struggle because they didn't heard all this stuff at church. That's what I was talking about. They heard all these things at church about who God is, and it's never at a relationship level. It's never on a relationship. There's always these poor sinners and this awesome and this terrifying God who's looking for any excuse or reason to cast them into hell, to send them to hell. And so I was just going to talk about the parable of, we know it as the parable of the prodigal son. But that's really not what that parable was about. Jesus was attempting to help people understand his Father. That's really what the parable is about. And the reason why you know that that's what it was about, because of the way the opening sentence of the parable. The sentence doesn't open up with there was a son. The parable opens up with there was a man, there was a father who had two sons. So this parable is about the father. Now it goes into the story of what happened to the son that left and to the son that stayed. But it wasn't about the sons. It was to show us the heart of the Father. Jesus was trying to get people to understand what the almighty, powerful God of the universe is like. And that he basically has two kinds of kids. He has those kids who are working real hard, trying to please him, trying to do all I can to make sure that whatever is that I earn everything that comes to me. And then he's got these other kids that are like, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, Dad is dead to me now. Give me my inheritance now, because inheritance only comes after the father dies. So he said, I want my inheritance now. You're dead to me. So God's got these two kind of kids, those who are working real hard to please him. And working real hard. And he's got the other side that are like the other extreme. Like, you know what? I'm going out and enjoy myself. Give me my money now. Remember that commercial? It's my money and I want it now. So that's that son. It's my money and I want it now. You know. So it really, even though it tells us the details of what happened to that son and all of that, it's still really not about the son. It's about that father that was waiting every day. In other words, father knows that eventually you're going to come to the end of yourself. You're going to realize that people are only around you because of what you got. They're not your friends because they really are into you. It's because of what you got. And I gave it to you. And people are that way right now to this day. Just think about it. This son was enjoying himself and enjoying his life based upon what his father had given them. And many people are that way today. That's why they stand up. You always hear me saying this. They stand up in front of on stages to receive their awards, and they're thanking God for giving them this gift and giving them. But they're prodigals. And the word prodigal means wasteful. That's what the word means, wasteful. They're wasting what God gave them. And so they're using it to be famous. They're making videos. And that's what we're looking at. There are people that came straight up out the church, grew up in church and everything. And they're out in the world, man. They're living the wasteful life. And what are they wasting? They're wasting what God gave them. God gave them those gifts and that ability. He gave that he gave them. It was their inheritance. But they're out wasting it. But Father is patiently waiting, because one day you're going to come to the realization that all those people are using your inheritance. They're just using what I gave you. They're just using it. They're making commercials off of you. They're making money off of you. And you ain't getting nothing in return. All these big parties, you know, that, what's the thing they call it? Make it rain. Make it rain. Go into the clubs and throw money. Hey, go into the clubs and throw money up in there. How y'all doing? So they don't know how much they're just, they're wasting. You know, they go into the clubs. And I used to hear that phrase, make it rain, make it rain. And I didn't know what all that meant. So I had to, you know, go and find out what that meant. And these guys, these athletes, these entertainers, and they go into these nightclubs and they take their own money. And while these people are dancing and everything, especially these girls, they're taking their money and throwing it up in the air, making it rain money. But who's that? That's your money. I'm so rich, I can just make it rain. I don't even care. So, and they're just like that prodigal son, throwing their money all out just so folks can go, ah. Meanwhile, they picking up your money. Hey, that's my boy. That's my boy. And they're expecting them to come to the clubs and the parties. Oh, that's my boy. He going to make it rain tonight. But they are using you. And that's what the prodigal son is about. We think of the word prodigal meaning it's a son that just left and he's wayward. But the word means wasteful. You're wasting what God gave you. His daddy, he didn't earn that money. That was his daddy's money. That was his inheritance. So you're wasting what God gave you. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at folks who are, they're wasting the gifts. They're wasting the talents. They're wasting, yes, even sometimes the finances that God gave them. They're wasting the blessings of God. But again, the parable isn't about the wasteful child. The parable is about the heart of a father who's still waiting. Because I know when you get through wasting what I gave you, I'm still here waiting for you. I'm still here waiting for you. Because God, one thing you learn as you look at God's heart and the way he feels versus what people have been told about the way God feels. The way God feels is, you're my son. And if this is the process that you must go through to find out that I'm your father. See, I know I'm your father, but you don't know that yet. And so you think that sense of accomplishment and affirmation and confirmation is going to come from these women. You think it's going to come from your boys. You think it's going to come from society. You think it's going to come from accolades. You think, And that's what really, not just the superstar athletes and the entertainers, but the average everyday person. That's what they're coming to. They got people who are striving hard for their education because they think, man, if I get my bachelor's, that's gonna be it. And then they discover, ain't it. Well, if I get my master's, that'll do it. And they go in to get the master's and doctorate. Dad is gonna do it. They get the doctorate. I got a very dear pastor back in my home church. He's a PhD, and I was complimenting him and just everything, how much I admired him for, you know, that doctorate. He said, Pastor Chris, PhD stands for piled high and deep. I have never forgotten that, obviously. He said, I just have a degree in the ability to impress people with what I know. But as far as something that really helps me with my life, with my marriage, with my family, with understanding the purpose of God, he says, that's why I'm at this church. He said, you and your brother, that's what you guys are. He said, so, because he knew I didn't have a degree at anything. And he said, don't you ever be ashamed of what God has given you. He said, people like me got PhD, but I'm coming to your church to get what God has given you. Come on, bless the Lord. So it's not in a lot of prodigals, a lot of wastefuls out there, but here is our Father still. I'm just waiting for you to come to the place where you recognize who I am. And so we know the story. It wasn't until that boy got all the way to the point where he was willing to eat the same food as the pigs, as the hogs. But only God knows how low a person has to get. There are some people, they're at that place, and even though they may not be there financially, in their spirit, they get there. Emotionally, they get there. They may be driving a Mercedes and living in a penthouse in New York, but they are willing to eat the slop. How can you say that? Because you look at their lifestyle, the people that they hang with, the folks that they associate with, they're dirty, they're filthy, they're hogs, and they're willing to eat the same thing. They're willing to participate in the same lifestyle, the same trashy way of looking at life, the same trashy way of dealing with people. They've gotten to the point where they're willing to go as low as those folks to maintain that lifestyle. So then you come to yourself and go, wait a minute. And here's our Father. He said, I'm willing to wait till you come to that wait a minute moment. Wait a minute. My daddy's servants eat better than this. What's he talking about? The folks who are just willing to just be in the house, those are the folks who are like, Lord, just one day in your presence. I'm fine with just sitting, being a servant, sitting on the threshold of the door. I don't even have to be in some great position. And people like that, God is blessing them far more. And I make them. These are folks that may have money, but inside they're tormented. They're poor in spirit. They're poor in spirit. They have what the Bible refers to as leanness of soul. There is no rest. There is no peace. My God, you come to a place where you can't even look at yourself in the mirror anymore. You can't stand that guy. You hate that woman that you're looking at in the mirror. And you go, no, wait a minute. My daddy got servants. My daddy got servants that are eating better than this, that are doing better than this. So he comes to that moment. First of all, you think about my daddy, my father. Oh, that's right. Father. Oh, yeah. I need to go home. I need to go home. Come on, bless the Lord. I need to go home. So, Daddy, we know the story. Jesus said, Father saw his son afar off and took off running. That's how our daddy is. He don't even sit there and make you crawl. Oh, cause we get those pictures, and sometimes sermons and messages or ministries have presented God that way, that he's going to let you crawl all the way back. You walked away from holiness. You walked away from righteousness, and I'm going to make you come all the way back and earn it. Say, Father saw him afar off. I ain't making you come all the way back. I'm coming after you. I see you coming. Yeah, come on, don't it change your heart about God. I see you coming, and I'm running the rest of the way. I'm coming after you. See, that's what Jesus wanted us to see about his daddy. That's my Father. He sees you coming back, and he takes off running. I've been waiting for you. I knew this day was coming. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bless the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, that kind of preaching and teaching has some people a little bit. It makes some people a little bit nervous in the body of Christ. Various branches and that have certain doctrines that make this kind of preaching seem as if though it's giving people an excuse to stay in sin. But one of the things that I really have discovered is that folks that want to just stay in sin, they don't need no excuse. And this kind of teaching doesn't provide them one, because they don't even really have any intentions of living right and doing right anyway. You know, John said, he said, the folks that left us, they left because they was never of us. There have been many people that have been in and around the people of God, but they were never of us. They were never really saved. They maybe they came in and they shook the preacher's hand. They signed their name on the church roll. Some of them even got baptized in water in Jesus' name. And they did it because mama made me. Mama said, I got to get baptized. And they've been, I'm telling you what I know. I've talked to friends that, all right, they went through the baptism. And since they said, I'm supposed to come up speaking in tongues, when I came about the water, untie my bow tie. I said some words just to make these people leave me alone. So while everybody was rejoicing, he got it. I just wanted them to leave me alone, get my mom off my back, and... So we've seen people walk away from church, and we call them backsliders. They weren't backsliders. They was never saved in the first place. And they were trying to live something. Some have tried to live something they never was empowered to. They never really gave their hearts to the Lord. Yes, Lord God. So it's not giving them an excuse to live any kind of way, to tell them the heart of our Father. Our Father says, I see you coming. And I'm not going to make you crawl all the way back. I'm running after you. I'm coming to you. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad to serve a God who feels that way? Bless you, Lord. Then he had the deal, you know, and rest of the parable, you know, father so excited, like, give him his coat back, which is his position. Put a ring on his finger. Put the ring. Ah. And of course, his brother gets mad. Brother, oh. Because that meant total restoration. My younger brother's being totally restored, and he ain't been faithful like me. What's up with that, Dad? Because that means I want to give you practical example of the reason why his brother was so upset. First of all, you done took, because it's when they had an inheritance. It was two brothers, and it was going to be divided this way. Older brother was going to get 2/3. He was going to get 1/3. So you didn't wasted 1/3 of the inheritance. Now Dad then brought you back, which means he's going to divide up the 2/3 that's remaining the same way. It's going to be broken up by 2/3 and 1/3, which means your 2 1/3 that you receive is going to account for more than half of the money. So the wasteful brother is now going to, in the end of all of this, get more than me. And I have been faithful. So he goes to Dad because, you know, first of all, he ain't even come to the party. Let's just start that. Dad throws a party for younger brother, big brother. I ain't even coming because I'm mad. Dad notices son ain't out there. Goes out there, talks to his wife. Why don't you come in and celebrate with everything? Your brother who was, you know, who was lost, he's now found. And read the parable. That brother he referred to, he said, that son of yours. He didn't even say my brother. That son of yours. Because I need to remind you of something, Dad. When he took his inheritance, he considered you dead, Dad. I never did that. I never backslid. I always been faithful. Saved all day. No evil have I done. Been walking in this way a long time. And I ain't got tired yet. Okay, Pastor Good. Y'all see, y'all didn't know I know about all that. But yes, I do. And I'm not making fun of it. I'm talking about this is the other side of God's kids. You got those ones who are wasteful, take advantage of God's grace. Then you got the others who are workful, full of works. And I'm expecting to be rewarded. So Dad had to remind him of something. That, you know, all that I've had, it's always belonged to you. You never had to work for any of this. What do you mean you've been faithful and you've been working so hard? And I never threw you a party. what Dad was saying is, with what we have had, you could have thrown a party at any time you wanted to. But you were so busy working and trying to please me and prove yourself worthy that you never understood. I'm your daddy. I'm your father. We could have had a party anytime. Anytime we could have had a party. Just say the word, Daddy, I want to have a party. It's on, son. It's on. It's on. But you felt like you had to work and you had to earn something that I've already given you. And that's the message of the good news of salvation. Not by works of righteousness, his word says. It's not by works of righteousness. So all of this inheritance, it's always been yours, son. We could have had a party anytime you wanted to. The reason why I'm celebrating now is because your brother who was lost, he's now been found. And I'm looking at how you feel towards your brother. See, Jesus was really helping us to see something about his father, the way he sees his kids, and also the way he wants his kids to look at one another. This is your brother. The fact that he walked away from this and all of us, I wanted your heart to be like mine is towards your brother. Not angry with him, not embittered because he gonna end up with the most. But to be willing to say, this is all of ours anyway. I don't mind sharing it with you. Even if you take some of it and you waste it, you're my brother. We're in this together. Because in the Jewish culture, that's how the main reason for them dividing up the inheritance that way was because the responsibility of the whole family was going to fall on the older brother. So the reason why he was given 2/3 and the other brother was going to get 1/3 is because you've got to carry the weight of this and really know how to share. It was going to be about sharing anyway. It was always going to be about sharing. It wasn't going to be about 2/3 is all yours. It's going to always been about sharing. Your heart has to be the same as my heart, son. Bless the Lord our God. Come on, thank you, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord. So I believe that God has given us this word and has us sharing this word because that's how he's enlarging our hearts as a church family. I believe that as we are going out and we're sharing more and we're involved in evangelism and we're involved in our intercessory prayer more as we come to the end of this year and rolling into the next year, he wants us to come from the perspective of the Father. Yeah, we're not doing something to earn something here in Harrisburg. No, we're just simply sharing our Father's heart. He's given us much, and to whom much is given, much is required. But from my perspective, I can tell you just as one person, it's the least I could do to share his love, to share this good news. Folks on the job, folks in our families, folks in the communities, this is going to be an awesome, awesome time for our church family. I'm just so excited about what God is doing. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your awesome, holy presence. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us to see you in a fresh way, to see you in a new way. Lord, you are great and awesome. You're mighty, and you're so faithful to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, the ways inside of us that are like the wasteful sun, thank you for how in this loving and tender way you have pointed it out. The places in our lives where we almost like we consider you dead, so I'm just going to go on and do my own thing. Take my gifts and talents and things that you've given me and just use it for my benefit. Thank you, Lord God, for pointing those places in me and in us where we're like the wasteful son, the prodigal. But Lord, also thank you for your faithfulness in showing us where we're like the elder son. Where we're working and striving for positions and places and protection and prosperity that you've already given us. It's not that we something that we can earn, but you've already provided. Thank you, Lord. We humble ourselves. That's really what I hear. Lord, we just humble ourselves and we just say, Lord, thank you for what you've given. Thank you, Lord. And it's not even so much mine, but Lord, it's really something you've given, gifts that you have given that you said we must be willing to freely give. Freely we received and freely, Lord God, we give. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us over these next few weeks and months where you're going to stretch us, Lord. You're going to pull us out of our routines. Yes, Lord. There's been this thought that's been in my heart the last few weeks, guys. And, you know, serving the Lord, how many of you have discovered this? Serving the Lord is not always convenient. I can't even say always, it's never. Can you say never convenient? You ever notice how emergencies never come at a convenient time? Urgencies never come at a convenient time. Serving God is not something that's done by trying to fit God into our schedule. It really is for us to change our life and adjust our schedule around His priorities. The scriptural way of saying that is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We hear that scripture all the time. So let me give you 21st century definition. When God is moving and He's calling upon me to step out of my routine and to volunteer and to give and to serve, it means I adjust my schedule and I rearrange my life to make sure that that happens, what He desires, that that happens. But what's His promise? If we do that, if we rearrange our life and our schedule, whether it's on a daily basis or sometimes it's spontaneous and you weren't even expecting it, but when we do that, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then He says all these things. What do you mean by all these things? All the stuff that I'm working so hard to try to maintain. All the things that I'm working so hard to try to, you know how it is. Like, I got to make sure that I keep the house clean, keep the bathrooms clean, keep the lawn straight, keep all the clothes washed, keep all the bills paid. And that's not that none of those things are important. But, you know, sometimes we can arrange and make those things priority when God says, come away with me and pray. Spend some time with me. Or like what's coming up, say, go out with the church and go minister to some people. Go pray for some folks. But God, I was planning on washing clothes that day. Can you see the Holy Spirit just go, really? Really? But God, I was going to wash clothes that day. Well, you know, Lord, I got to get stuff ready for the next work week. Souls. Your work week. Souls. So I said, yes, Lord. Now, what does He do? You're thinking, oh, but I won't have time to do this, and I won't have time to do that. Or, Lord, I won't be able to pay this bill. I won't be able to pay that bill if I don't. And what will God do? Miraculous. I'm telling you what I walk through. I'm telling you what I know. I was talking to Pastor Joe Green yesterday. He said, you know, Pastor, usually my Saturday mornings are just so hectic. Things don't line up right. And he said, the Lord just spoke to me this morning to, before I do anything, just to spend some time with Him. So he said, I did that. I got up, spent some time with the Lord, and had a lot of running around to do. And he said, and everything just fell in place. He said, normally I go to the barbershop and I have to wait a long time. He said, I walk into the barbershop and nobody's there. That sounds like a little thing, but you know what I'm talking about, where just long waiting in the barbershop can offset your whole day. And but he said, but because I spent time with the Lord like He told me to, He lined up the whole day. I had to take my son to practice. I had to go to the barbershop. I had to do this and do that. And I spent time with the Lord, and the whole day just smoothed right on out. Why? Because you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what He's talking about. So He's working on us because we do. We've got these routines, man. Good God, we got routines. And don't mess with my routines. Like, I do this every Monday, every Tuesday is this, every Wednesday is that, and third. And please don't fool with my weekend. Don't fool with my weekend. Wise Pastor Chris, and I'm not just talking about what we're planning on doing this upcoming Saturday of getting out. I'm just talking about a whole different lifestyle change and mindset change, so that when the Lord speaks, we say, yes, okay. Because even if you can't, I understand work schedules, everything, you can't join with us this upcoming Saturday, there's always something on a daily basis that God says, come do this, come do that. So he wants us to be sensitive to move when he says move, do it when he says do it. We can't tell you how many times Carol and I can tell you when the Lord has told us to do stuff and you do it when he says do it. It is never convenient. These past few weeks have not been convenient for us. The last thing you feel like doing after you put in a full day of work is going to a city town hall meeting. But God said, go. The last thing you feel like doing when your weekend finally comes. And this is how it was, even for us to go to this thing we went to last night. Pastor Joe, you know, he said, got this thing, got these tickets, free tickets. You guys want to go? I'm ready to say, no, that's a Saturday night. I spend my Saturday nights getting ready for Sunday morning. Saturday night is my message getting ready time. God says, go. But, God, you messing with my routine. Saturday nights, it's supposed to be me and you, right? I'm in the Word. Prepare. So how you gonna tell me to interrupt our time together? I'm going to, and this thing ain't Christian. These folks ain't saved. Go to some unsaved, ungodly event. Messing with my God. I'm telling God. Are you going to tell me to go to an unsaved, ungodly event on a Saturday night that's supposed to be our time? But God does that. He'll tell you to do stuff that this ain't none of the routine. This ain't none of the way you normally do stuff, God. But we go and we run right into people that he wants us to connect with, that he had destined before we ever moved here, that we're supposed to connect with. So I'm encouraging you, don't be afraid of breaking the routine, of stepping out beyond the way God normally does stuff in your life. I believe, I'm convinced he's getting us ready for whatever it is that's coming up on America. Whether it's revival, you hear me saying this all the time, whether it's revival or judgment or both at the same time, I know that we will need to be a people that are sensitive to his voice, to do what he says do and the moment that he says do it. Yes, Lord God. Come on, just bless the Lord right now. Just receive that. Say, yes, Lord God, that's my heart today. I want to be sensitive to your voice. To move, Lord God, when you say move. Even to be sensitive to your whisper, Lord. You told us to not be like the horse and the mule that must be guided by bit and bridle, forced to move in certain directions. God, you don't have to put a bridle on us. Lord, let us be guided. His word says, guided by his eye. Guided by his eye. Lord, if you just simply look in a certain direction, I want to be so sensitive to you that just your look tells me what I need to do. Just your expression. Yes, Lord God, if you look in a certain direction, I know what you mean. That's the willingness I want, Lord. Just tell him, be real with God today. Lord, that's what I want in me. I want that level of sensitivity that you can guide me with your eye, even beyond your voice. That's some serious communion with God, where it goes beyond him just telling me what to do, but Lord, just guided by your eye. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let us just be filled with your presence. Thank you, Lord, in such a way that we are yielded to you.